Okay, today's daf is Horios daf Vav. We left off on daf Hey Amud Beis and Maseches Horios. It's going to be important to remember for the purpose of our discussion today the three basic shitos that we had in the last Mishnah. When discussing who brings the Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur, how many Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur are brought, we had three basic shitos. There was the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir held that the Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur is a single carbon brought by the Beis Din. It's only a chiyuv on the Beis Din. It's not a chiyuv on the individual Shvatim. We had the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that held that no, Yud Beis Shvatim will bring Yud Beis Parim, and Rabbi Yehuda even held further that there's a concept of Greira, that even if not all Yud Beis Shvatim did the Avera, even if only some of the Shvatim did the Avera, the Yud Beis Shvatim all have to individually bring their own carbon. Rabbi Yehuda also had another Chiddush on top of that, that a single Shevet that violates an Avera based on its own Beis Din, even if it's not based on the Beis Din HaGadol, has to bring a Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. But for the purposes of today's daf, it's just important to remember that Rabbi Yehuda holds each of the Yud Beis Shvatim have to go bring a Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur, and then you have the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, which is that they're both true, that it's both a chiyuv on the Beis Din as well as a chiyuv on the individual Shvatim, and therefore when Klal Yisrael does something wrong based on Ahara's Beis Din, there are 13 Parim that are actually brought, 12 by each of the individual Shvatim and one by the Beis Din representing Klal Yisrael as a whole. So those are the three basic shitos. We left off yesterday about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 lines from the bottom of the page. Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon is where we're up to. So, frankly, Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon, Shevet Echad de Ikri Kal Min Alehu. Where do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon know? From where do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon know that Shevet Echad is called a Kal? I think that's where we left off. Yeah, I think so. Is that correct? Anyone remember? No. Yeah, I think so. So where does Rabbi Yehuda know that a Shevet Echad is called a Kol? That in fact we refer to a Shevet Echad as a Kol, meaning they both hold that an individual Shevet there's going to be a Chiyuv on each Shevet to bring a Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. Obviously they hold that a Shevet is called a Kol. Where do they know that a Shevet is called a Kol? So there are two answers the Gemara is going to give. First answer is Amri Dixiv Vayamud Yoshavak Bekal Yehuda Virushalayim, and the gears over here is important. Bekal Yehuda Virushalayim Bebeis Hashem Lefnei Hachatzer Hachadasha Bebeis Hashem Lefnei Hachatzer Hachadasha. So they were standing in Beis Hashem in front of the Chatzer Hachadasha. So my Chadasha, what do you mean Chatzer Hachadasha? What kind of new Chatzer was there in the Beis Hamikdash? They were mechadesh, a new concept, and they were mechadesh, a new chumrah, and they said that a tvul yom is not allowed to enter the machne leviya. So, but what do you see? What's the bottom line? What are we trying to quote from the pasuk? It's the kahal Yehuda of Yerushalayim. So, even though it was only Shevet Yehuda, still it's called a kahal. We refer to them as a kahal. We just happen to mention the idea in the context of a pasuk that talks about this Chadasha, which apparently is a reference to this Gezeira, that a Tvul Yom was not allowed to enter the Machne Leviya. There is some discussion in the Achronim in terms of what my Chadasha, what exactly the Gemara's question was when it says my Chadasha. The Merom Esada, the Netziv, says that the Gemara is asking that certainly that Chatzar was there before, so why would you call it Chadasha? If the Chatzar was there before, why would it be referred to as Chadasha? So the Netziv says that's what the Gemara is saying. No, it wasn't actually new, it's just that there was a new Gezeira made in connection with the Chatzar. But the Meshech Chachma in Bamidbar Perek Hei, Pasuk Bei, says that no, once they made a gezeira on a tvul yom that he's not allowed to enter the machna leviya, and everyone was a tvul yom at that time. Rashi in Vam Zayin and Beis points out everyone was a tvul yom at the time v'yol shafat, so they were all tvul yom. So therefore, they had to make a new chatzer that didn't have the kedushas machna leviya. So there actually, literally, was a new chatzer that had to be built. So that's what the Gemara is asking: why did they make a chatzer chadasha? What was the purpose of that chatzer chadasha? And that's what the Gemara comes to answer. The purpose of that Chatzar Chadasha was to address a new need based on a new gzera that they had made, that Tvul Yom is not allowed to enter Machna Leviya, so they needed a new Chatzar in order to have a place for the Tvula Yom to go. But either way, you see from here that a Kahal, that a single Shevet, Shevet Yehuda, is referred to as a Kahal. So it says the Gemara, Maschal Ravacha Bar Yaakov Mimai. How is that a Raya, that a single Shevet is called a Kahal? Dilma Shain Yerushalayim, Davinami Binyamin. We're after all talking about Yerushalayim over here. And maybe because Binyamin was in Yerushalayim also, that's why it's called a Kahal. Not because of a single Shevet, it's the combination of two Shvatim that actually make it a Kahal. So says the Gemara, we're going to have to come up with another source of how we know that a single Shevet can constitute a Kahal. Elam Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Dechsiv, Pasuk says in Bereshis Perek Mem Ches, Vayomer Elai, Hinini Mafricha Vihirbisichu Nesaticha, LeKahal Amim, that Yaakov Vinu is told he's going to become a Kahal Amim. And then what happens right after that? Which of these Shvatim is not yet born? When Yaakov is told, don't worry, there's still going to be a Kahal that comes from you. Manis Yalud Vayahi Shaita, Binyamin. It's Binyamin who's going to be born at that moment in time. So Shmamina Hachi Kamarachmana. So it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yaakov the following. Mis Yalud Vayahashta, Kahal Achrina. You're about to get a new Kahal. Now, obviously, you have 11 Kihilos already, but you're going to have a new Kahal that's going to be born to you, and that's Shevet Binyamin. So you see that the Torah refers to a single Shevet as a Kahal. Samalei Rav Shval, Rav Kahanas, Rav Shval says Rav Kahanas, no, Dil Malachi Kamalei Rachmana. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch is telling him the following. L'chi Misyalud L'cha Binyamin, Hu Dava Yud Beis Shvatim, Demiskaryas Kahal. Maybe he's telling him, look, all you got right now is 11 Shvatim. Once you have Binyamin, then you'll have a complete Kahal. Not that Binyamin alone constitutes a Kahal, but Binyamin, together with his 11 brothers, will together constitute a Kahal. Samalei El Shneimas Shvatim Ikru Kahal. So he says, if that's the case, then you're going to tell me only 12 Shvatim are called a Kahal and 11 Shvatim aren't called a Kahal? That's an untenable position. You can't say that 11 Shvatim is not called a Kahal. Why? Look at Rashi. Yiral Shvatim lo b'tmiya v'amr t'shnei Shvatim irku Kahal Yehuda Binyamin. We already proved that 2 Shvatim are called a Kahal from the previous Raya. We said that in the times of Yehoshaphat, you had Yehuda and Binyamin was there also, so at least 2 Shvatim was called a Kahal. So you see that t'shnei Shvatim irku Kahal. So it can't be that he's telling him now you're going to complete the Kahal. It must be that he's telling him that now you're going to have a new Kahal born to you. So you see that Shevet Binyamin on its own is called a Kahal. And it's not Shevet Binyamin is not the exception. Shevet Binyamin is just an example. But any of the Shvatim individually would be called a Kahal. Period. That's the end of that discussion. Now, Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Matam Olamer Upar Sheni Ben Bakar Tikach Lechatas. What does the pasuk mean when it says that they should take Par Ben Bakar Merchasos Solus Bul B'Shemen and then Par Sheni Ben Bakar Tikach Lechatas? So Imlo Lamit Shem Shnayim Valok Varnemar Va'asa Es Echol Chatos Ves Echol Olal Hashem. If you want to tell me that there are 2 parim over here, well, the pasuk already says that you make one of them a chatas and one of them an olal Hashem, right? It talks about parim in that same parsha. Valvim Yismuchu. The full pasuk is Valvim Yismuchu Es Yideim Al Rosh Haparim Va'asa Es Echol Chatos Ves Echol Olal Hashem L'Chaper Olalvim. So why do you need to tell me parsheni Ben Bakar Tikach Lechatas? What does Sheni add? It can't be telling me that there are 2. I already know that there are 2. Ela Yachol Teinecheles Chatas Levim. So no, the thing is, I might have thought that it's eaten as a chatas by the Levim, by the Levim. So Talmud Lomar Par Sheni Li Ola. That no, the second one is an Ola. Ma Ola Lona, meaning that it's the second one that's treated like an Ola. Meaning you might think that the chatas gets eaten. So that's why it has to tell me Par Sheni Bin Bakar Tikach Lechatas. Sheni implies that there's a connection with the first one, that there's something linking the first and the second. Otherwise, you wouldn't call it Sheni. So we want to say Ma Ola Lo Necheles Av Chatos Lo Necheles. So just like the Ola, it's Pashut, doesn't get eaten. So to Chatos is Pashut, doesn't get eaten. This idea that Sheni is always a link to the, always represents a link to the first one, besides from being intuitive, is a very famous idea made famous by the Netziv in his Hakdama to Sefer Shemos. The Netziv in his Hakdama to each of the Svarim tries to explain why Chazal gave different names to each of the Svarim of Chumash. And he said that one of the names Chazal gave to Sefer Shemos is Sefer Sheni. He said, you know, of all the great creative names you can come up with, the second book, that's the best they can come up with. So he said, no, they're trying to highlight the point that everything that happened until that point, all that happened in Sefer Bereishis, was meant to lead up to the highlight of Sefer Shmos, which is Kabbalah Satorah. That everything was about, everything prior to that, was all about Kabbalah Satorah. But the idea is that when it says Sheni, Sheni is always a link to the Rishon. So that's the drasha we're trying to make. That when it says Sheni, that Par Sheni Ben Bakar Tikach L'Chatas, it means that the Sheni should be like the first one, in the sense that it doesn't get eaten. Uchayotzi Ba'am Rabbi Yossi, Haba'am Me'ashvi Hagola Hikrivu Olos L'Elkei Yisrael, Parim Shnei Masar, Hakol Ola. Pasuk says those who came back from Galus brought Olos to the God of Israel. Parim Shnei Masar, Hakol Ola, it was all an Ola. So it doesn't, the Gemara skipped some of the words of the Pasuk, which are going to be important over here. It says, Yikrivu Olos L'Elkei Yisrael, Parim Shnei Masar, Al Kol Yisrael, Elim Tishim Vishisha Kvasim Shivim Vishivit Zipari, Chatas. Shnei Masar, Hakol Olol Hashem. So it talks about specifically Karbanos Chatas, and then after talking about Karbanos Chatas, says, yeah, it's all a Karban Ola. What? We just said it's Karban Chatas. How can you call it all a Karban Ola? Hakol Ola Salkadaitach? Efshar Shechatas Ola? Can it really mean that literally they're all a Karban Ola? Can a Karban Chatas be a Karban Ola? So Ella Hakol Ke Ola. It means to say that it's all like a Karban Ola. Ma'ala lo necheles, av chatas lo necheles. Just like Karban Ola doesn't get eaten, so too Karban Chatas doesn't get eaten. So too this Karban Chatas that they brought at that time didn't get eaten. Rashi points out, av chatas te yikrivu lo necheles v'isha yusi irin shal tzibor nesrafin l'fisha chnisu daman l'f because they were the Seirim of the Tzibor that get burnt because they brought the blood. that the blood is brought into the Ol Moed as a kaparik. Right, that the Tzibor of the Zara also, they do not get eaten at all. So it says the Tanya Rabbi, back in the Gemara now, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that they brought this for Avodah Zarah, and the Siri Avodah Zarah do not get eaten. Why did this Tzibor at this time bring a carbon for Avodah Zarah? What Avodah Zarah did they do that they need to bring carbonos to address Avodah Zarah, to be mechaper for Avodah Zarah? It goes back to be mechaper for the Avodah Zarah that was done during the days of Tzidkiyahu. So says the Gemara, now let's go back to the three shitos we had yesterday. Remember, we had Rabbi Yehuda's shita who holds that each of the individual shvatim are called a kal, and each one is chayiv their own parlam dovah shel tzibur, and therefore each one is also chayiv their own chatos for avodah zarah, right? Their own seal for avodah zarah. And we have the shita of Rabbi Meir that only the beis din, and we have the shita of Rabbi Shimon that both. So it says, Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, works out very well. Lani shemas or chatos. I understand why there are 12 chataos, because the situation must be kigon dechatu shnei masor shvatim demaisu shnei masor seirim. If 12 tribes sin, you bring 12 seirim, because each tribe is chayiv its own seir. Inami dechatu shiva shvatim shari nech begreira. Or if you recall, Rabbi Yehuda also held of the concept of greira, that if 7 of the shvatim, for instance, sinned, all 12 shvatim are going to have to bring the carbon anyway, because there's that concept of greira that all the shvatim bring along with those that sinned. Rabbi Shimon nami mishkachsa, and it even works well according to Rabbi Shimon, who said that not only do the shvatim individually bring, but it's a chiv on the basin as well. It must be kigon dechatu echados or shvatim. It must be that according to Rabbi Shimon, you could work it out. Why would there be 12 seirim that are brought? Because 11 of the shvatim sinned. The maisu acharas or seirim v'idach the beis din. So you have 11 seirim by the 11 shvatim. Where did the 12th one come from? That was beis din, right? So that's how Rabbi Shimon can arrive at the number 12. Elo the Rabbi Meir, damar beis din mevin v'lo tzibur, but according to the mayor, that the chiv is only a chiv on Beis Din, and it's not a chiv on the Tzibor, where do you get the number 12? How's he ever going to have 12 being brought? So says the Gemara, kigon dechatu v'hadar chatu v'hadar chatu ad shesar zimni. The Gemara spares us going through v'hadar chatu v'hadar chatu, something like that. But if they sin, and then again, and again, until 12 times. They sin 12 times. So you bring 12 chatos for 12 separate incidents of sin that they need to be mechaper for. But in a chinami, it's only one at a time. The basin can only brings for one at a time. So frak the Gemara, v'maisalu hanu duchatu. But wait a second, we're saying that they're bringing for those who sinned are long gone. They already died. The people who did the Avodah Zarah in the days of Tzidkiyahu, so they're already gone. So how can you go bring a Korban Chatas for those who are already dead? So Rav Papa, Kigimi Vichata Shmesu Bala B'misa, when do we say that there's such a halacha that when a Korban Chatas' owner dies, that the Chatas should just be left to die itself and should not be used as a Korban? Hanimila B'yachid. That's when it's an individually owned Korban Chatas. If an individual owns a Korban Chatas and that individual dies, so that's called the Chatas Shemesu Ba'aleha, and that Korban Chatas is never brought, that Chatas is left to die itself. Avalo B'tzibur, but when the Tzibur owns a Korban Chatas, the Lefisha'in Misa B'tzibur, a Tzibur never dies. Klal Yisrael never dies. The individuals that comprise the Tzibur might die, but the Tzibur is still the Tzibur, right? We as a Tzibur still pay for, still get rewarded for the mitzvos of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael from years and years ago, and to some extent we pay for the Averus as well. We are still viewed uniquely as a Tzibur, as the same Tzibur that we always were. So that's the give and take. The Gemara originally assumed that every Chata Shemesa Ba'aleha has to be left to die, even if it's owned by a Tzibur. Rav Papa says, no, it's not true. Ain't Tzibur Mesa. In Igros Moshe, in our Chaim Chelek Aleph, at the back of our Chaim Chelek Aleph, he has several chidushim on kudshin in the back of Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph. So that he wrote it while he was still in Laban. So one of those chidushim, he has a tshuva on Horios Tavav. It's an interesting topic for a tshuva. Obviously, not one of the more famous tshuvas of Igros Moshe. It's not up there with whatever artificial insemination or whatever other famous tshuvas he has. Horios Tavav. And Rav Moshe writes that there are two ways to describe what a tzibur is, to be able to explain what the concept of tzibur is. One could say it's a kibbutz shel yechidim, a gathering of several individuals creates a tzibur, or maybe no. Shaklal biyachad hu davar she'enu mischalek. Is that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts? The tzibur is an entity. It's a separate entity, and it is not just made up of individuals. It is a separate entity called the tzibur, and that's the shem tzibur. And he says, maybe that's the issue that all the chiyuvim on the tzibur are tali on. Do we say that any chiyuv on the tzibur is a chiyuv on the specific individuals who comprise that tzibur? Each one as an individual, and it's just that the reason why those individuals are chayiv are because they are part of a tzibur, but it's really about the individuals. Or do you say, no, the chiyuv has nothing to do with these specific individuals? When there's a chiyuv on the tzibur, it's a chiyuv on an entity. It's like this concept may have been difficult to understand before the days of corporations, right? But now we have such a concept that a corporation is not about the individuals, it's a separate entity called a corporation. And it's a separate books and separate, it can go bankrupt without having to declare personal bankruptcy by the CEO and whoever else, right? There is this idea of a tzibur being something that is completely different than the individuals. So Rav Moshe explains, that's the machlokas between the Makshan over here and Rav Papa. The Makshan thought that the tzibur is a collection of individuals. So each member of the tzibur has a chiyuv regarding his chelek in that Korban Chatos for the Avodah Zarah that was done. And therefore he thought it's shaykh to say that a tzibur is something that could be mesu ba'aleha, that the individuals who comprised the original tzibur are gone now, they're dead, and since they've died, then the karban should not be brought anymore either. Whereas Rav Papa comes along and he's mechadesh like the second sad, and know that a tzibur is considered a separate unit. It's not divided into the individual parts of the tzibur, and therefore you can't say misa b'tzibur, even though there's no kapara l'meisim, since the kapara is not on individual people, it's on the klal of the tzibur, and the klal of the tzibur never dies. Memela, it could even those who died could be nischaper, meaning because the tzibur is nischaper, and therefore even though those who originally committed the sin have died, it still makes sense to bring the korban chatos. That's how Rav Moshe explains this give and take in the Gemara over here. Okay, says the Gemara further. Minalei l'Rav Papa ha. Okay, now that Rav Papa said this chiddush, that it's tzibur, shemesu baleha, when you have a chatas of a tzibur, that some of the owners died, that's not called a chatas shemesu baleha. Well, where does Rav Papa know that from? I mean, it's a wonderful chiddush, but he has to have a source for it. So where does Rav Papa get this idea from? So the Gemara is going to have three suggestions. Suggestion number one, Pasuk says explicitly that in place of the fathers come the sons, and that's what it means, that the sons take over for the fathers in regards to any chiyuv on the tzibur. Who says that pasuk is only about a tzibur? If that's what the pasuk means, that achata shemesu ba'aleha, it's not really considered mesu ba'aleha because the sons are there in place of their fathers, then even when an individual dies and had a korban chatas, as long as he has a son to take his place, that should also, we should not say the chatas is mesa. We should still bring that korban chatas. So that can't be our source. So the Gemara goes for a second try. Ella, Dukir de Rav Papa mi Si'ir de Rosh Chodesh. Rav Papa was medayik from the halacha of the Si'ir of Rosh Chodesh. Dam Rachmana, Maisi mitrumas halishcha. The Torah says we need to bring the Si'ir of Rosh Chodesh from the monies of the Trumas halishcha. Vaha Maisi luhumi Yisrael. But wait a second. By the time you bring the Si'ir of Rosh Chodesh, some of the people who contributed to the Trumas halishcha have to have died. People die every day. So somebody who contributed to the Trumas halishcha must have died by the time you bring the Si'ir of Rosh Chodesh. And so those who remain alive, how could they bring the Seer of Rosh Chodesh? Some of the Shutfim, so to speak, have died. So don't you see that, so what does that prove? El Shemami, no, that what we see from there is Chatash Mesu Ba'aleh, but Tzibur, Karva. That as long as it's a carbon of a Tzibur, we're not worried about the fact that some members died, because it's not a Chiv on the individuals. It's a Chiv on the Tzibur, and the Tzibur doesn't die. That must be where Rav Papa gets it from. Reading those two lines is a little bit confusing because the Gemara uses the term maisi, and maisu. First time means bring, second time means died, third time means bring. Right? So you just have to not get confused by the terminology. But okay, so the Gemara says it flows smoother. Sometimes the Gemara does that on purpose. There are other words that the Gemara could have used, but it flows smoother. So it's more poetic that way. So it's just harder to figure out at first. So but bottom line is, that's the source of Rav Papa, that a chatas of a tzibur, that some of the members of the tzibur died, can still be brought. So, frankly, Gemara, mi dami, si'ir Rosh Chodesh, dilma lo maisi tzibur. Avalacha vaday maisu. Wait a second. Who told you that the people who donated to the Trumas HaLishcha died? You have no idea. That's pure speculation. Maybe that's only a suffix. Maybe it's a far-fetched suffix. Maybe it's a rove. I don't know. But you definitely don't know for sure that the people who donated that money to the Trumas HaLishcha died. Over here, we're talking about bringing karbanos for people who sinned in the times of Tzidkiyahu later on, when those people were certainly dead. So if that's true, when they come back from Galus, and the people who had done the Avera are certainly dead, so how do you see that you're allowed to bring that karban, that you're allowed to bring karbanos on behalf of those people? So says the Gemara, we need another source for Rav Papa. Ella, the third and final source for Rav Papa, time of Rav Papa Mehacha. The source of Rav Papa is from the following. Dechsev, it says in the Pasuk in regards to the Egla Arufa, Kaper le'amcha Yisrael asher padisa Hashem. Pasuk says that it's a kapara for the nation of Israel, that God has redeemed us, and we shouldn't allow dam naki, we shouldn't allow a clean blood, meaning innocent blood, in to be spilled in our midst, and that's why we bring this kapara for this fellow that was found dead, Parsha Vegla Rufa, you find this fellow that's dead between two cities, so that's part of the process. So, but what do we say? Ru'uya kapara zu shetchaper al yotze Mitzrayim. Whoa, this kapara is la'amchi Yisrael asher padisa Hashem. When was Hashem told to us? That was way back at Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we're bringing a kapara today with the Egla Rufa, and that's going to be mechaper on the Yotze Mitzrayim, on the people who left Mitzrayim. Those people are long dead. Midachsiv Asher Padisa, because after all, it says Asher Padisa. What else could it be referring to? So you see that you're allowed to bring a kapara for people who are dead. So says Gemara, nah, is that a good source? Midami, hasam kulu isinon, migo de mechapra achayim, mechapra nami, amesim, elahacha mi avuchayim. By the case of the Egla Rufa, who's it being mechapra for? It's being mechapra for everybody, all of Klal Yisrael throughout all of history, including everyone who's alive today.
So since it's being mechaper for everyone who's alive today, or maybe not for all of Klal Yisrael throughout all of history, but at least for the Yotzei Mitzrayim and for those who are alive today. So since everyone who's alive today is getting a kapara through this karban, so Mimela, dragged along with that, the Yotzei Mitzrayim could also get a kapara. But over here, we're talking about bringing a karban for people who sinned in the days of Tzidkiyahu, and only for people who sinned in the days of Tzidkiyahu, meaning the karban is purely for people who are all 100% dead. So says Gemara, in a chinami, d'chsiv, v'rab me'akon, how do you know that they were a rabbim? Maybe they were only a miut. Haksiv, that's what the pasuk says. Let's just get the pasuk right. That's what the pasuk says. Ve'ena amakirim kol truas asimcha lekol b'chiyam ki amrim trur gedolav kol nishma ad l'meirachok. That no, you can't say that it was a minority of the tzibur. It has to have been a majority of the tzibur because it describes the crying out that they had that was heard from a very great distance. Meaning that don't think when they brought this carbon that there was no one still alive from the days of Tzidkiyahu. I mean, in a chinami, if no one was still left, then you're right. If no one from the original tzibur that had sinned was left, then you're right. You can't bring that carbon. But over here, there were still people alive. This was talking about when we come back to Eretz Yisrael after being in Galus to build the second Beis HaMikdash. So how long was the Galus between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash? It was 70 years. So the Navi reports, people came back and they were crying. They were very emotional about the fact that the second Beis HaMikdash wasn't quite as impressive as the first. Everyone else was celebrating it so great, we have this new Beis HaMikdash, but the people who remembered what it was like, who remembered the Gadol, they remembered the Gadlus of the covenant of the first Beis HaMikdash, where they had the Aron in its place, and the Aron wasn't 2 days in the Gemara, whether it was hidden underground or removed from the premises, but the Aron in the first Beis HaMikdash was in its place, and you had all the miracles in the first Beis HaMikdash. All that went away during the second Beis HaMikdash. So there were people that were crying. How many people? Lots and lots of people, apparently. Enough that it's that would justify bringing the separate karban. Now, we said that the reason of Rav Papa is from this pasuk, Kaper la'am chli Yisrael shabedis Hashem by Egla Arufa. So the Tosa Rosh explains that the Egla Arufa is mechaper even on earlier generations if someone was ever killed and they didn't know who had killed him and they didn't do an Egla Arufa. Meaning, why would they, when they bring an Egla Arufa, why do they invoke the names of earlier generations? What does earlier generations have to do with the Egla Arufa? So that's what Tosa Rosh explains, that the Egla Arufa is for earlier generations who may have been chayiv an Egla Arufa and didn't do it. So this Egla Arufa should cover them as well. The Shibali Aleket, however, explains that the Kapara on the Mesim is for this Aveira, that of the person who was killed right now. This isn't about other people who were chayiv an Egla Arufa. What the Shibali Aleket explains is that when Klal Yisrael does Averos, we never know where that Avera is going to express itself in terms of punishment, how it's going to come out. It could be that 200 years ago, there were Averos that were done that led to this fellow dying and being found between the two cities. So it's because of that we're bringing Kapara for the earlier generations. That's why the Egla Arufa is Mechaper on the Mesim from the Chet, that because they might have been responsible for the sin that brought about the death of this individual. And he says that's the Makar, why we give Tzedakah ala Mesim, why we give Tzedakah to be Mechaper for Mesim, because we need to be Mechaper for their Averos still, even if they're not here anymore. They're not the only ones that pay the price for their Averos, that we still might be paying the price for their Averos. That's how the Shibali Aleket explains. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, V'hamazidin havu. Wait a second, how could this carbon work for the people who sinned in the days of Tzidkiyahu? They were mazed, they weren't shogeg. So says the Gemara, Horasha Haisa. Yeah, that you're right, but that's Horasha, that it's going to work even though they were mazidin. Hachina mistavra, and you have to say that way, Dilote mehalchi, because if you don't say that way, look at the pasuk, Elim tishim shisha kvasim shivim shiva, k'negin me. What are all these kabbanas for? El Rasha Haisa, Hachinami Rasha Haisa. These numbers, where do they get these numbers from? It must be that it was a Rasha. It's the only place these numbers could come up. So you have to say that the fact that you brought it for people who did it b'mezid is also a Rasha. Tan Rabbanan, Meis Echad Min HaTzibur Chayavin. So we have a Braisa. If one member of the Tzibur dies, after the tzibur becomes chayiv, one member of the tzibur dies, the tzibur is still chayiv to bring the karban. Echon mi beis din, pturin. One member of the beis din dies, we're going back to the discussion of parhel and davar shel tzibur. Beis din issues an erroneous psak, the rov of the tzibur follows that erroneous psak, we now have ourselves a chayiv parhel and davar shel tzibur. Now, someone in the tzibur who had followed that erroneous psak dies. Do we say, oh, now the people who are chayiv for it aren't here anymore, so we're not going to bring it? Of course not. The tzibur is still going to be chayiv. They're still going to bring the karban. One of the members of the Beis Din who issued the psak dies, then peturin. So Mantana, who could be the author of that brisa, of that line of the brisa? And again, we need to go back and revisit our three-way machlokas: Rabbi Yehud, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehud, and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir holds the chiv is only on the Beis Din. Rabbi Yehud holds the chiv is on the Shvatim, and Rabbi Shimon holds the chiv is on both. Some Rav Chisam, Rabbi Zeiram, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Rav, Rabbi Meir. He that stam brisa must have been authored by Rabbi Meir. Damar Beis Din Mevim Velo Tzibur, because after all it says that the Beis Din brings and not the Tzibur. Hilkach Meisachem Min HaTzibur Chayavin Da Kaim Kule Beis Din. That's why it makes sense that if one of the members of the Tzibur dies, that has no effect on the carbon whatsoever, because the Parham Davar Shel Tzibur is not brought by the Tzibur, it's brought by the Beis Din, and every member of the Beis Din is still alive and accounted for, and therefore clearly the Chiv is going to remain in place. But that's also why Meisachem Mi Beis Din Peturin. If one of the members of the Beis Din dies, they're pater. Because then it's a carbon chatas that one of the shutfin dies, that one of the partners have died. So since it's a carbon chatas that one of the shutfin have died, mela, it's going to be something that it's going to have to be mesa. It's not going to be able to be brought. Umishumachi peturin. That's why they're pater. So that makes perfect sense according to Rav Meir. So ask the Gemara: is Rav Meir really the only of the three tanaim that you can say possibly is the author of that brisa? Let's be very clear over here. That brisa holds that if one of the members of the tzibur dies, you still go ahead with part of the Shul Tzibur. If one of the members of the Beis Din dies, you do not go ahead with it. So it fits very neatly according to Rav Meir, who holds that the Chiv is on the Beis Din, not on the Tzibur. But can't we say it might be going according to someone else as well? Maskev Rav Yosef, Vinukamak Rabbi Shimon. Why not say it's going like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that there's a Chiv both on the Tzibur and on the Beis Din in the following way? Damar Beis Din HaTzibur Meis Echad Min HaTzibur Chayavin Dein Tzibur Meisim. So if one member of the Tzibur dies, maybe you're still going to be Chayiv, not because the Tzibur has no Chiyuv. The Tzibur does have a Chiyuv, but Ein Tzibur Meisim. The Tzibur doesn't die, like we said from Rav Papa on the top of the Yamud. Meis Echad Mi Beis Din Peturin Kedamrina Dechatel Shutfin Hi. But if one of the members of the Beis Din dies, then they're going to be Pater, because it is treated like a Chatos HaShutfin. It's treated like a Karmel Chatos that's brought by Shutfin. The Beis Din is considered shutfin in this endeavor. So why do we have to insist that it's going like Rav Meir and not like Rabbi Shimon? It could very well be going according to the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, it could have. The only problem is Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of this idea that a chatas hashutfin, where one of the shutfin dies, that the chatas is left to die. He holds that when the chatas hashutfin, when one of the shutfin dies, the chatas is still brought. That's Rabbi Shimon's unique shita. So you can't say that this brisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, not because of the tzibur part. You're right, the tzibur part fits nicely according to Rabbi Shimon, even though the tzibur are the ones that are chayiv. But nevertheless, when one member of the tzibur dies, you don't call that the death of the tzibur. That fits fine. It's the problem is on the Beis Din part. And according to Rabbi Shimon, if you view the carbon as a carbon of the shutfim comprised of the Beis Din, and one of those shutfim dies, well, Rabbi Shimon holds that chatos does not go to die as well. The Tanya, where do we have this? Where do we know that Rabbi Shimon holds this way? We have a brisa as follows: Par v'sar shel yom kippur m'sha'avdu. The par and the sar of Yom Kippurim that get lost. And they take another par and sa'ir in its place, because you can't just not do the avodas Yom HaKippurim. So if you lose the first one, they're mafresh others in the place. Yamusu kulan divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says they should all be left to die. So what does that mean, Yamusu kulan? So if you look at Rashi right on the left hand side, Rashi explains shaminu le Rabbi Shimon damrchata shutfin enemesa detani parvus Yom HaKippurim shavdu v'ivrish achreim tachteim v'nischapru behen, and we achieve kapar with them. And this is the part that I left out. V'achar kach nimtzu avudim. And then you find the lost ones. After you use the replacements for the avoda, you then go ahead and you find the lost ones. Kulan yamusu div Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, then all the lost ones that you now found should die, because they have no usage anymore. Says the Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yiru, Lefi Shein Chatas Tzibur Mesa. Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon say, no, they should be left out to graze, because you can't let a Chatas Tzibur die. It doesn't just die. You don't just let it die. So Amr Le Rabbi Yosef, Kohanim Ka'amrit, so Rabbi Yosef says, so what, that's from there you want to prove that when you have a carbon that belongs to shutfim, that if some of the shutfim die, that it that the carbon doesn't die. The, over there, who are the shutfim in that carbon? In that situation, it's kohanim. Kohanim kamrit, shiny kohanim dikrukal. Kohanim, as a unit, are actually referred to as a tzibur. They're not called individuals. So it refers to kohanim specifically as a kal. Kohanim are not referred to as just individuals. They are compared to a kal. So since they're called a kal, that's why Rabbi Shimon says that their par chatos is like the chatos, the seir chatos of a kahal that isn't left to die. But a chatos ha-shutfin, maybe you would really say that Rabbi Shimon would hold if one of the shutfin dies, you would not bring a chatos ha-shutfin. And therefore, when one of the members of the Beis Din dies, then Rabbi Shimon would say that you would not bring that carbon chatos. And therefore, this anonymous brisa that we had may still yet fit, according to Rabbi Shimon. You cannot prove from here that Rabbi Shimon holds that a chatos of shutfin is not left to die. Elameata nicey parbahura, but if that's the case, if a kohanim are really called a kal, so the Gemara is gonna get focused on that point for a second. You want to say the kohanim are called a kal, so let's say the kohanim, rova the kohanim, do an avera based on an erroneous psak of Beis Din. Is that mechayev parham davar shel tzibur also? If the kohanim are called a kal, then rova the kohanim alone should make a parham davar shel tzibur. V'chitei machinami, unless you want to say, yeah, it's true. Ein achinami. Kohanim, rova the kohanim do the avera, then they too bring a parallel davar shel tzibur, just like shevet Ruvein, Shimon, right? Rova the kohanim also qualifies as their own shevet in this regard. Well, the problem then is tafilu shvatim. Go back to the previous mishnayos where we went through the numbers, where we said that according to Rabbi Shimon, there are 13 karbanos. Why 13? 12 for the shvatim, 1 for the beis. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there were 12 karbanos for each of the shvatim. But if you're going to say that the kohanim were called the kahal, so then according to Rabbi Shimon, there should have been 14. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there should have been 13, because then there are really 13 tribes that each bring as individuals, plus you have the Beis Din. So the numbers are going to be all messed up. Tafi lehu shvatim, you're going to have too many shvatim. Elam Ravachab Rabbi Yaakov, shifto shel Levi lo krukal. Shevet Levi is not called a kal. So meaning that what we're saying, not just Shevet Levi, by definition, Kohanim, which are part of Shevet Levi, are not called a kal, plus Shevet Levi themselves are also not called a kal. So it says the Gemara, "Tzichsev hini mafcha v'bisich v'nasaticha lekal amim v'gomer." So we dash him from there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was promising Avram Avinu, your children are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to get a piece of the land, and they're going to become a kahal amim. So we dash him from there. Kol sheyesh la'achuza ikrikal, the kol she'en la'achuza lo ikrikal. Only those who actually get an inheritance, who actually get a piece of Eretz Yisrael, are referred to as kal. Those who do not have an achuza, those who do not get a piece of Eretz Yisrael, are not called a kal. So that's why Shevet Levi is not called a kal. If you look at Rashi, he says Shevet Levi v'hu adin the kohanim d'lo kurkal. The kohanim have b'chal Shevet Levi. Obviously, the kohanim are part of Shevet Levi. So says Gemara, but if we do that, if we erase Shevet Levi and we knock the kohanim out, imkein chasri luhu yibes shvatim, then you're going to have too few shvatim. Same problem we had before. You have too many. Now we have too few. Now it's only going to be 11 shvatim, and therefore Rabbi Shimon should hold there are 12 karbanos, and Rabbi Yehuda should hold there are 11 karbanos. So Amar Abaye, Ephraim and Menashe, Ruvin v'Shimon yili. No, Yaakov Avinu tells Ephraim and Menashe, you to me are like Ruvin and Shimon. So you see that sometimes when we count the shvatim in the chanami, we leave out Shevet Levi, but we compensate for that by counting Ephraim and Menashe as two separate shvatim. Yaakov meant it very literally, that is Keruvin v'Shimon Yuli. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Drash Moshe has a beautiful explanation of why it is, of all the grandchildren, why is it that Ephraim and Menashe are more like Shvatim, more like Yaakov's own children, and Yaakov finds them to be so beloved to him, more than any of the other grandchildren. So the Pashup Shad is because they were Yosef's kids, and Yosef was the favorite son. But to then single out Yosef's kids, after having made that mistake once before, to single out Yosef's kids over the rest, seems a little bit questionable. Rav Moshe explains that the ultimate test of how we're mechanich our children is how they raise their own children, is what kind of homes they make on their own. Everyone else was raising their children in Yaakov Avinu's own home, so he was really raising his grandchildren also. He had a direct influence on his grandchildren from all the other shvatim, so that wasn't a sign of his true success in chinuch. Ephraim and Menashe, the fact that they become an Ephraim and Menashe, that's the ultimate sign of Yaakov Avinu's success in chinuch, because they had never met their grandfather before, and Yosef still raised them right. Okay, little word of the day. Amar Rava. But wait a second. We said the pasuk says that al shem achayim yikru b'nachlasam, that we only compare Ephraim and Manasseh to Reuven and Shimon in regards to Nachla, that they each get a different portion of Eretz Yisrael. But we never otherwise compare Ephraim and Manasseh to Reuven and Shimon. So how could you say that Ephraim and Manasseh compensate for the lack of Levi? That's not true. Ephraim and Manasseh only in regard to Nachla. So says the Gemara, really, it's only in regard to Nachla. Velo, it's not about anything else. V'chalukin b'degalim, Ephraim and Manasseh each have a different degel. So doesn't that show you that it's not only about the Nachla? So therefore, it could also be about the Paralel Davar Shel Tzibur, viewing each of them as a kahal. So just like they're viewed separately in regards to the degalim. So says the Gemara, no, k'nachlasan, kach chaniyasan. The Nachla and the encampment and the Degalim are really the same thing. That the way we set up the Degalim in the Midbar was meant to mimic how we were going to be in Eretz Yisrael. It was a formation to get used to. So that was the idea. The Nachlas and the Degalim are very much related to each other. And also, k'dei l'chalik kavod the Degalim, in order for the Degalim to look nice and to work out properly, you needed to have 12 Shvatim. Needed to have Ephraim and Manasseh counted separately, but that is not an indication necessarily at all that Ephraim and Manasseh are typically viewed as two separate Shvatim. So frankly, no, but there's another place where they're viewed as two separate Shvatim. V'chalukim b'nesiim, they have different Nesiim, so isn't that an indication that they're two separate Shvatim? And says Gemara, no. Ha'ulachlo kavod l'nesiim, that's just to give kavod to the qualified Nesiim, to give them a role, to give them a job. D'tanya, Shlomo asa zayin yimei Chanukah, umara amosha lasu shnei maso yimei Chanukah. Shlomo Melech made 7 days of a Chanukah of the Beis Hamikdash. Right, this doesn't mean Zayin Yimei Chanukah. This is like the old question that has 500 answers: why we have 8 days of Chanukah, not seven? That's not addressing. This is not addressing that issue. It means the Chanukah of the Beis Hamikdash was Shlomo made for 7 days, but Moshe Rabbeinu decided to make for 12 days. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to make for 12 days? Because he wanted each of the Nesiim to have their day where they bring the Karbanos, where it's their role. So my Haviyah. Bottom line is, let's go back to our original question though. When we said that Rabbi Shimon holds that a chatas hashutfin ain't a mesa, that Rabbi Shimon holds that a chatas hashutfin, where one of the shutfin dies, is ain't a mesa, so do we hold that way or not? Is that true? Does Rabbi Shimon in fact hold that when you have a chatas hashutfin and one of the partners dies, that it's mesa or ain't a mesa? What do we do with that carbon? So Tashma, so we have a raya. Titania, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chamesh chataos mesos. Rabbi Shimon says there are 5 different carbonos chataos that are left to die, and they are Vlad Chatas, Tmuras Chatas, Chatas Shemesu Baaleha, Chatas Shenischapu Baaleha, V'Chatas Shavra Shnasa. Fine, those are the 5. V'yata Yecholomer Vlad Chatas B'tzibur, Shein Tzibur Mefrishin Nekeva. Now, analyzing each of these 5, in terms of the Vlad Chatas, the child of a Karban Chatas, the offspring of a Karban Chatas, we can't say that about a Tzibur, because that would never come up in the Tzibur. Why? Because whenever you have a Chatas Tzibur, it's always male. So there is no Vlad Chatas by a Chatas HaTzibur. V'yata Yechalom Tmuras Chatas B'tzibur, Shein Tmura B'tzibur. We also can't have a case of Tmuras Chatas by the Tzibur, because there's no such thing as Tmura by Tzibur. When the Psukim talk about Tmura, the Psukim talk specifically in individual terms. Does not talk about a Tzibur. So there is no concept of Tmura when it comes to the Tzibur. V'yata Yechalom Chatas Mesu Ba'aleh B'tzibur, Shein Tzibur Mesim. And you can't say Chatas Mesim by a tzibur, because the tzibur doesn't die. But the other two, we're not sure if they apply to a tzibur. A chata sheneschapru baleha or a chata shavra shnasa, we're not sure. Yachol yamusu, I might think that they should die, because after all, they do, it is shayich to the tzibur. So we say, let's learn out those that we're not sure about from those that we are sure about. Just like the first 3 are clearly only about a yachid and not about a tzibur, so too the chatas sheneschapru baleha and the chatas shavra shnasa, those halachos are only about the yachid and are not about the tzibur. So therefore, we can derive conclusively that if these halachos are only about the yachid, the chatas shmesu baleha is dafka about a yachid and is not about a tzibur. So when it comes to the tzibur, we're going to say that there ain't tzibur meis, that the tzibur does not die. So, frankly, Gemara, what kind of limud is that? The chidan in efshar mishi efshar. How can you learn the two that are shayich to a tzibur from the three that aren't even shayich to a tzibur? I mean, you want to say, well, the first three chatos mesos that Rabbi Shimon listed, well, those don't apply b'tzibur, so therefore the other two don't apply b'tzibur either. Now, the reason the first three don't apply b'tzibur is because it's impossible. There is no such thing as a vlad chatos b'tzibur. There's no such thing as a tzibur chatos b'tzibur. How can you therefore say, prove conclusively that those that are possible don't apply b'tzibur? So says Gemara, Rabbi Shimon b'chatos. Rabbi Shimon had such a Masorah, he had such a Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, that all of them are connected to each other. That's what Rashi points out, that he had Gamalu Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, Shiu Nogos Yachad B'Makom Echad, Obi Yachro B'Tzibur, he had Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, that they're all in the same boat. And because they're all in the same boat, therefore even the other two are only Shai to the Yachad, not to the Tzibur. Hadin L'Chor Bezim, Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with the Par Kohen Mashiach.